Why do you think that during this time, prominent American composers like Copland, not trying to develop an American sound, but do something different for the first time when it comes to American compositions?
Well, it's interesting. It would be worth just quoting what Martha Graham said about Appalachian Spring at the time. You know, the context was World War II, the 1940s, and in her words, she was quoted as saying, "The world was accepting a different image of America, something that was perhaps not a colony, but an independent cultural experiment." And I love that that image of America as an independent cultural experiment, because I think that's very much what Copland had in mind with some of the harmonies, some of the intervals that he used, the materials that he was manipulating. He was really trying to sound unique. And I think that part of that was political, but it was also a question of projecting a certain image of America to the world culturally. It was designed to convey this sort of optimism and can-do spirit. You know, you think of Rosie the Riveter, that most of the composers at the time were conscious of trying to make a break. I mean, certainly there was continuity, and Copland himself could be considered as much a Parisian composer as an American composer in his early years, studying with Boulanger at Fontainebleau. And, you know, there was certainly a European cosmopolitanism about composers of that time. But they also were very conscious about writing American music. Even Weill is a great example, because when he emigrated to the U.S., he was very conscious of saying, now I want to write American music, American-sounding music. You know, my German music was one thing, but now I'm writing American music. And this is typical of the time. Copland was quoted as saying, "I was very conscious," this is about Appalachian Spring, "I was very conscious of doing something in the serious field that would sound American." And I think that's really what he had in mind, as did other composers of his day.
Before I came here, I was reading that Leonard Bernstein had said that one of the things Copland does is express simplicity in such a forceful way. And that sort of reinforces maybe a little bit about what you said about his folk background.
I really like that very much. So you said simplicity in a forceful manner. And I think I would recast that maybe as simplicity wrapped in tension. So, but it's very much the same thing that you're talking about. And Bernstein knew all about that. You know, if you think about the tritones that open West Side Story, it conveys this sense of youthful energy, but also dissonance and conflict. And it was World War II, right? I mean, it wasn't all wine and roses. So there was dissonance, there was tension, there was conflict. And I think that that's what appealed to Copland about this idea of the frontier. Martha Graham had just completed in 1935 her solo called Frontier, and it was about the pioneer woman. And he had just completed his Ballet Rodeo. And so this idea of ruggedness or, what did you say, forcefulness, I think did appeal to him as a way to project, even if that wasn't his personal image. I think that was what he was trying to project. And it comes across in the materials that he's using, the intervals and the harmonies, as it does in Bernstein's music. But let's stick with the music for a moment, although there's a lot we could say about Martha Graham. And really, Appalachian Spring itself was much more about her than it was about Copland at the time. In my world, certainly, as a music professor, Copland is right up there. I mean, you'd have to put him in the top two or three of all of the great American composers. But Martha Graham was equally well-known and influential, certainly at the time. And when he wrote Appalachian Spring, he just entitled it A Ballet for Martha. So it wasn't really, to him, so much about Appalachia or about springtime, although later, putting it in dance speak, you know, Martha Graham said it was all about being a celebration of the recurrence of the seasons or the settlement of an area or an anchoring. You know, she was kind of trying to contextualize it in that way. But really, he said it was trying to capture her personality, which I think for him embodied that energy, that optimism, that can-do innovation of America at the time. And I would like to demonstrate a couple of things for you.
That would be great.
If you think about, let's start with the Shaker tune, "'Tis a Gift to be Simple," right? Just that opening bit of it, if you think about what's happening there, it starts, and it keeps opening up wider and wider spaces until it gets to the octave. So it's this embodiment of sort of opening outward and spinning forward. And then what you mentioned, I love that Bernstein's idea of the simplicity with forcefulness. If you listen to the continuation of that theme, there's the tension because he's resolving it to the dominant, so it's a sort of opposite pole, while you still have the tonic there. So and there it is again. So this idea of two opposite poles conflicting, the tonic and the dominant, creates that tension, that sense of energy. And that's very much apparent in the main theme too. If you listen to that main theme.
Yeah, what are you hearing there? What is it?
Listen to what happens if you combine those intervals together. Those are perfect fourths, so they have a certain tension in them. They sound like they need to resolve like this. So the top note needs to resolve down. It has a certain, what we call in music classes, a tendency tone. So it wants to resolve down. It has a tendency to resolve down. But then he lands on the dominant, and you're always leaning forward. You're always waiting for that next thing to happen. And Bernstein would have captured this same spirit with, you know, same thing. Both fourths, but instead of, it's, so it's an augmented fourth. He takes it one step further. It was, what was it, 10 years, 12 years later that he premiered West Side Story. So it's slightly more dissonant and more active, more angular, but it's the same idea, this idea of tension combined with openness, distance between the notes. Copland is always described as conveying wide open spaces, you know, and open prairies and so forth. And a lot of that comes from his use of these open intervals. But I think what's underplayed really in his harmonic language is the sense that there is tension or dissonance embodied there too that seeks resolution. So it has this energy to it. You had this idea that there was tension, there was conflict, the war was going on, the world was becoming, you know, a stranger and harsher place with industry growing rapidly. And yet at the core in all of these works, in Oklahoma, in Porgy and Bess, in The Tender Land, in Appalachian Spring, it revolves around a love story and the idea of a youthful sense of optimism or courage overcoming this adversity or conflict or tension that was present in the wider world. I think both of those elements were important to Copland.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.